truth tonight. Well, good morning, everybody. Hey, we're really glad that you're here. Really glad that Dot is here today. And Dot has had a lot of experience when it comes to missions. She's been on a number of different missions trips. And if you would, please continue to pray for Dot. And also, speaking of missions, let me say this. Over the whole pandemic thing and us not meeting, our missions offerings have suffered quite a bit. And so if you are giving it to missions, if you would like to support missions, please put that in the offering boxes out there. Or for that matter, I'd like to encourage all of you to go online and give through our website. And that's another way that you can give to missions as well. So please make it a point to do that, because we understand that our ministry doesn't stop here in the middle of a pandemic, nor does the ministry stop in Italy, nor does the ministry stop in any other place that that we have people around the world. So please make it a point to support missions. Hey, listen, before we really get going, make sure you read your program. We've got a lot of stuff going on at the church, even during the pandemic, that you need to know about. We've got a congregational meeting coming up next week. Please read that. And also, Vacation Bible School is going to look a lot different this year, and please read those announcements about that. We need help in funding our Vacation Bible School this year, and we would love to be able to fund that fully with your help. Last year, we had a new couple move into our subdivision. I talked with the husband several times, really, really a nice guy, but I never really had much of a chance to talk with the wife. Earlier this spring, I noticed that the husband got a new truck. I thought, I like that truck. I like the color of that truck. And I also noticed, when I noticed his truck, I also noticed that the husband, I couldn't put my finger on it, but I noticed the husband looked a little bit different. Like I said, I couldn't put my finger on it, but he looked a little bit different. Well, 2 weeks ago, I was talking to our next-door neighbor, who happened to have some conversation with the guy, you know, who moved in with his wife last year. I had some conversation with my next-door neighbor, and I found out why the husband looked a lot different than before. The guy who's living there now is not her husband. Hello, right? I can remember walking or driving by their house and just waving, you know, because I know the guy, right? I'm driving by the house and I'm waving at the guy, and he's looking at me like, you know, like, who in the world are you? You see, what had happened is this lady had an affair, and the husband then divorced the lady, and the new guy that's in there is her live-in boyfriend. And those are his words to my neighbor, not my words for him. You see, it really seems like, doesn't it, that almost every single week we hear about a breakup and people hooking up, right? You see, our sermon series that we're working on right now, we're in week 7 of the sermon series that we're calling 10, and we're looking at the 10 commandments, looking at the 10 commandments and their relevance for the 21st century. And when we look at the 7th commandment today, I mean, can we talk relevance, right? This is very, very relevant for our culture today. Look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. There Moses wrote this, and it comes directly from God. You must not commit adultery. You must not commit adultery. Statistically, anywhere from 20 to 25% of men cheat on their wives. Anywhere from 13 to 17% of women cheat on their husbands. And the fallout for the husbands, the fallout for the wives, the fallout for the children is life-altering. And for some people that we're talking about this today, for some people, we're talking about an open wound. For other people who are here today, we're ripping the scab off of a wound. But understand, it's really worth us talking about today, because the fallout is utterly devastating. Now, God had a lot of different reasons as to why he gave us this commandment. And here's reason number one as to why it's so important. Marriage is a foundation of society. Marriage is the foundation of a society. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about the family being the foundation of society. And that's a true statement. That's a true statement. However, today we're looking at a finer point of the family. Marriage is the foundation of a society. I mean, in fact, God felt so strongly about this marriage relationship that this is what he said in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10. He said, if a man commits adultery with his neighbor's wife, both the man and the woman who have committed adultery must be put to death. And you think to yourself, wow, that's unbelievable that God would be that harsh. I mean, they weren't that harsh back then, were they? Well, if you look at history books, if you read through source material, guess what? You will find out that the Romans had laws on the book about adultery, and people who were caught in adultery in Roman culture were actually put to death. If you look at Greek culture, the same thing is true. People would be put to death. And even in the New Testament, with all the grace of Jesus Christ, have you read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9? There the Apostle Paul said this. He said, don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Oh, don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin, or who worship idols, or who commit adultery, or who are male prostitutes, or those who practice homosexuality. You see, among all of the wrongdoers that Paul mentioned there, he listed those people who committed adultery. Having said all of that, do not hear me say, all adulterers go to hell. That is not true. Please don't hear me say, all adulterers go to hell. You see, there is the grace of Jesus Christ which can overwhelm our sinfulness. The grace of Jesus Christ which can overwhelm our lives. But yet, at the same time, God feels so strongly about this. If you disobey, there will be unbelievable consequences. And in our last hour, we talked about this. In the last hour, we talked about the fact that the consequences can reach eternal consequences. And not just eternal consequences, but consequences here and now. What are those kinds of consequences? You can destroy your life. You can destroy the life of your spouse. You can destroy the life of your children. Consequences. You see, here's why we have consequences, and here's why these consequences are so huge when it comes to this. Marriage creates a sacred space, and it's the only space in this dog-eat-dog world where you can truly be yourself and still be loved. You can truly be yourself and still be loved. You can be honest with one another. My wife Sandy and my kids, sometimes they sit me down and they're really honest with me. Hey, listen, what you're saying is coming across this way. Hey, how you're acting is coming across this way. More often than not, guess what? They're sitting me down, they go, Dad, come on, what you're doing is just really, really stupid. Or it's really, really funny. You know, they tease me a lot about this, that, or the other thing. And that's okay. I don't mind being teased. I don't mind being sat down and say, hey, listen, you need to think about this. I don't mind that. You know why I don't mind that? Because I know they love me. I know they love me beyond a shadow of a doubt. I know they've got my back. I know they've got my best interest in mind. You see, marriage and family is a sacred space. In fact, you can giggle with your spouse in the middle of a great, big crowd when you have an inside joke going on. Have you ever experienced that before? You're in a big crowd, and someone says something, and you look at your spouse, and both of you start smirking with one another. Because the same thing hits your mind at the same time. You start giggling with one another. You see, marriage and family is a sacred space. You see, just one word can set it off. And adultery destroys, it utterly destroys that sacred space. You see, marriage is where you can take, marriage is a place where you can take your mask off, you know, and you can be in a very, very safe place. You see, here's a second reason why I think this commandment is so important, and that is because marriage is a mirror. It's a mirror of Jesus and His church. When people look at you, they're not just seeing your marriage. When people look at you, they're either seeing a bad theology of Jesus and God's love for us, or they're seeing a good theology of Jesus and God's love for us. And here's something that I found was really, really interesting in my research. You know, when I research a sermon, I'll go through my concordance. It's an index of all the words that are listed in the Bible. And I went through my concordance of all the words that are listed in the Bible, and I looked at the word adultery. Get this. Adultery is used in the Bible 80% of the time. Or I should say it this way. If you look at all the times adultery is used in the Bible, 80% of the time it's not used in reference to a marriage relationship. Of all the times that adultery is used in the Bible, 80% of the time it's not used in reference to a marriage between a man and a woman. What it's used as is a metaphor of the relationship and between God and His people. You see, what God does, He paints a picture of what happens between He and us. And when you violate that picture, when you violate that image that you see in the mirror, when you violate that, then your neighbors and the people around you are unable to read clearly what the Bible says about God and His church. According to the statistics, 75% of men are keeping their vows. 83% of women are keeping their vows. And you stop and think about that. You know what? There are a lot of good marriages in America. I want to do something right now. If you've been married 20 years or more, would you stand? If you've been married 20 years or more, please stand. There we go. Isn't this fabulous? If you've been married, keep standing. If you've been married 20 years or less, please stand. If you've been married 20 years or less, please stand. I mean, this is absolutely fabulous, isn't it? Okay, go ahead and have a seat. Understand this. When couples honor their vows, other people can clearly see who Jesus is. But when you do not honor your vows, there's a price to be paid. And sometimes that price demands immediate payment. I think pretty much in all cases, there are price tags that come due for much of our lives. When it comes to adultery, that price tag is pretty immediate. That price tag has to be paid in many cases to our own children. And when divorce happens as a result of adultery, guess what? Most of your friends will scatter away from you. You'll lose the respect of your kids. You will feel abandoned. There is an anger and a confusion amongst your family and your friends. You see, every single sin we commit in our lives, there's a price tag associated with it. And some of the price tags, they come due time and again, decade after decade after decade. And we keep paying for them. Now, here's a side of adultery that a lot of people really don't want to talk about. And that's lust. Lust. John Maxwell, preacher, leadership expert, he defines lust this way. He says, lust is a thought or a feeling I cherish and hold on to that if I did what I was thinking, it would be a sin. Let me read that for you again. Lust is a thought or a feeling. It's a thought or a feeling I cherish and hold on to that if I did what I was thinking, it would be a sin. As you look at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus has escalated the Ten Commandments. He raises the bar on the Ten Commandments. In fact, in this situation right here, he raises the bar. Look at Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 27. He says there, you have heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery. But I say, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Years ago, in the St. Petersburg, Russia Zoo, they had trouble with their orangutans. And as it turned out, they were having troubles getting their orangutans to mate. And guess what they did? They set up televisions outside of their cages, and then they played videos of orangutans mating. Yeah, right? And guess what? They were hoping, get this, they were hoping monkey see, monkey do. Exactly right. But instead of mating more frequently, guess what the males did? Instead of mating more frequently, the males ignored the females. They became so involved, they became so entranced with the videos that they ignored the females. And because the females got so ticked off that the males were ignoring them, they didn't want to have anything to do with the males at all. Now, I say that because I want to say this. Men, in general, are visually stimulated. And to say that pornography is a problem in the United States of America among men is an understatement. Surveys show that 95% of men actually struggle with lust. And I would venture to say the remaining 5% of those guys who say they don't struggle with lust, I would venture to say that they struggle with lying. You know? Folks, we cannot control every single thought that pops into our minds. But we can control what happens after that. We can't control every single thought that pops into our mind at a commercial, at a suggestive billboard, when somebody makes a pass at us, but we can control what happens after that. You see, here's a problem that a lot of people have today. They think love is a moment. They think love is an experience. To quote Bambi, remember Bambi? To quote Bambi, everybody wants to be Twitter-pated, right? I want to be Twitter-pated. Understand, love is not a moment. Love is not an experience. You see, the beauty of love is not in that experience, but the beauty of love is in the memory of the birth of your son, the birth of your daughter, the memory of your kids going through graduation. 2020 is a different kind of a memory, right? Or how about this? Watching a child finally get their life together, finally get their life together after years and years of drug abuse. The memory of holding each other beside the casket of one of your own children. Traveling to Israel together and watching other people's faith come alive right in front of your eyes. You see, marriage isn't just a physical thing. Marriage isn't just a social thing, but marriage also is a spiritual thing. I said just a few minutes ago that marriage is a mirror of Jesus and the church. The Bible says that the church is the bride of Jesus Christ. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, he says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior." And then Paul goes on in 31 and 32, and he says this. He says, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. The two shall become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church." You see, marriage is a small picture of the relationship that Jesus Christ wants to have with his bride, the church. Not many of you, but some of you will recognize the name of Elizabeth Taylor, legendary actress from years and years and years ago. She held a press conference after her eighth marriage. Yeah, that's right. After her eighth marriage, Elizabeth Taylor said this in that press conference. She said, "I look at a marriage kind of like movie scripts. I hope it's going to turn out and be a hit, but I know at the same time it just might be a dud." What can we do, you and me, to try to ensure that our marriages don't become duds? I've got 6 pointers for you to write down, 6 pointers to protect your marriage. Number one, first, know your boundaries. Know your boundaries. Put fences around your heart that will protect that sacred relationship between you and your spouse. You know how far you can go. I cannot go past this point. I cannot go here. I cannot have a relationship with that person. Know your boundaries. Number two, realize the power of your eyes. Realize the power of your eyes. It's been said that the eyes are a window into the heart. The eye gate is a window into the heart. Job said this in Job 31:1. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes not to look with lust at a young woman. And let me say this, with a commentary, don't look with lust at any woman. It doesn't matter what her age is. Number three, beware of isolation and concealment. Beware of isolation and concealment. A friendship with the opposite sex that meets the needs your mate should be meeting must be ended quickly. Quickly. Now, when you end that relationship, it may bring you a lot of pain in your life. But understand, you've got to end it quickly, or else it might be the end of that relationship with your spouse. Look at number four. Extinguish chemical reactions. Extinguish chemical reactions. At first, like with the other one, it may be painful. It may hurt a lot. But guess what? That hurt and that pain will not compare to the hurt and pain of a broken marriage. It won't compare to the hurt and pain of a broken family. Number five, list the consequences of sexual sin. List out on a piece of paper the consequences of sexual sin. What would happen if I stepped out on my spouse? Early on in our marriage, my wife Sandy, she said to me, in fact, she made it very, very clear. She made it very, very clear about me having an affair with anybody and divorce. She said, Lynn, if you ever had an affair on me, if you ever have an affair on me, you don't have to worry about a divorce. I'll kill you. Yes, ma'am. Duly noted, officer. Duly noted. Here's something very, very practical. List out on a piece of paper, not just names like mom and dad and grandpa and grandma and my kids. No, don't do it that way. List them by name. Yeah, my parents, Dale and Shirley. My siblings, Randy and Rhonda and Laquita. Yeah, and my kids, Landon and Josh and Caleb. List all the people in your life, people at work, people at church, people who are in the neighborhood. List them out by name, and then after every single name, list out, write out what the consequence would be for them. And I think if you were to do that, that would be a sobering experience. That could be a good reality check for you. And then look at number six. Love your spouse. Love your spouse the way Jesus wants you to love your spouse. Love your spouse the way Jesus wants you to love your spouse. Are imperfect people welcome here at Fairfield? I really hope imperfect people are welcome here at Fairfield, because guess what? I've been here for about 10 years, just over 10 years. I really hope imperfect. You see, the church should not be a sanctuary for saints, people who have it all together. The church really needs to be a hospital for sinners, a hospital where people who are hurting, people who don't have it all together, we come together and we help each other out, and we use the Bible as the basis of our help. There may be someone who's here today who is on the road that we've been talking about. You may be flirting with it right now. Someone at work, someone in the neighborhood. Make the decision this very moment, not just today, but make the decision this very moment to end that relationship and renew your relationship with Jesus Christ. Or for some of you, you may need to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do your best as well to restore and then enrich and invest Invest in the relationship. Restore the relationship with your spouse. Oh, man, I don't know if I can do that at all. There's a lot of water under the bridge. I don't think we can begin brand new. Well, you know what? Jesus is all about new beginnings. Jesus is all about do-overs. Jesus is all about starting over. And we have marriages in this church who have been on the rocks, and they have been restored by the grace of God. We have people in this church who have not had a relationship with God for years and years and years, and guess what? It's been restored. And the same thing can happen to you. Because Jesus is all about brand new beginnings. Let's bow our heads and pray, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for all that you've done. And God, I pray that you'll work inside of every single one of our lives, that we may not only have a good relationship with you, but Father, we may have a good and growing relationship with our spouses. God, we thank you for all that you've done. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. And speaking of all that God has done, Condi Echelbarger is going to come up and lead us in our communion meditation to talk about communion and all that God has done for every single one of us.